This is the Glass Ceiling. Glass Ceiling. On Hard Facts.
Lagos, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. What should you expect when you are expecting? On the Glass Ceiling, we'll put a spotlight on solutions to the obstacles and challenges that women face every day. Those challenges are not just political. They're not just economic. They are not just social. They can also be medical. And something as commonplace as pregnancy, you'll be surprised the amount of medical risks that it brings up for women. Last week, we started this conversation with our doctor because the previous week we had a conversation about preeclampsia and eclampsia, and that opened up a Pandora's box about pregnancy, and that's why we're staying on this subject. And today we're discussing the challenges that those 9 months can spring up, and it's not all challenges. For some people, it's a breeze. They're just like, oh, la-di-da-da-da, and they give birth and it's fine, you know. But is it that way for everyone, you know? Is it is well for everyone, or what's inside the well, you know? Let's have that conversation. My guest is back. She is the practice manager at One Wellness Center, Dr. Chibuki Ayigbe. Good to see you. Welcome.
Hi, Lagos. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. And we're streaming live on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. You have questions? I know. Let's hear all about those questions. You can also talk, ask us questions about, you say ask us. Me, I'm not among the doctor you're asking. Ask her questions about preeclampsia and eclampsia as well. Ask her questions about what to expect when you're expecting. The numbers are the same, 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Doctor, last week, when we finished talking, you know, for people who didn't listen last week, I shared a story of a listener who wrote an email to me to tell me that her sister was pregnant and in the hospital and trying to give birth. The doctors were recommending cesarean section, and the husband was refusing because he's her royal priesthood. I don't know how the saying goes. He's the head of the house, you know. He doesn't want her to.
He's the man.
Yes, you know. It's his decision, Sha. And no, my child, you must give birth like a Hebrew woman. I did not marry a weak woman. I married a Hebrew woman, you know. And doctors are saying, look, this woman will not be able to do this. And so she wrote to me, and it was just even luck. Well, I guess, I mean, even the luck was not even really lucky, because I saw the email. I reached out to her. She put me on the phone with her husband, who's also a listener to the show. Put my husband on the phone with the man as well, trying to convince this man, let this woman get this life-saving procedure. And he blatantly refused, and she died while trying to have that baby. And doctor, you know what? After the show, I got a lot of other emails with a lot of other people in that same situation or similar situation.
I didn't ask last week, did the child survive?
No. They both died. Mother and child died, you know, because they couldn't do the surgery.
Yeah.
They couldn't get the baby out. The woman couldn't push. You know, it was just a mess. And one of the questions that I kept getting, you know, over and over and over was, what's going to happen to the husband? Is there, do we have laws that can, you know, maybe make the man answer for manslaughter? And I don't know, do we?
Oh, yes. So if you there is a chance for the family to take legal redress and, you know, sue the man. You can't arrest him anyway, but you can sue him and hope that the court actually does charge him for manslaughter. So but then if the other party can also say the woman was an adult, she could make the decision by herself. But if you remember that culturally we answer to our husbands to some degree, and like, you know, we're talking about her own capacity as a person, you know, how financially stable was she, how educated, you know,
we had that conversation
off the air. All those things come into play. But yes, there is he can actually, you know, do time for manslaughter or whatever punishment the court decides
to give.
Exactly.
So what are the options of women in that situation? Is there help that they can get from the medical doctor? Because if in that moment I can give consent, I can say, yes, I want to have this baby through CS, cut it out of me or whatever, and my partner is saying, no, I'm putting my foot down, it cannot happen, you don't have my consent. Explain how consent works in that situation.
In anywhere in the world, anywhere in the world, right? Mm-hmm. Especially in Nigeria as well. Mm. Before any procedure is being done to you, mm-hmm. before any doctor does any surgical procedure, be it minor, major, whatever it is, mm-hmm. he must seek consent. Mm. Now, that consent form, what it does is that it gives you a summary of what the procedure is, mm-hmm. and then it says that the doctor has explained what this procedure I'm about to go in for is, mm-hmm. and that if he encounters anything during the procedure, the doctor has the right. So you're kind of like waiving
your rights.
Your rights. You know, like the doctor
can decide for you.
To decide for you what to do in there. Okay. Because if this patient had gone in for a CS and then the patient, you know, couldn't stop bleeding or whatever, then the onus lies on the doctor in the theater to take out her uterus.
Okay.
Things like that.
Okay.
Now, what I notice, I think I'm also guilty. I think I'm guilty. I've had two cesarean sections. I'm trying to think who signed my consent form, whether it was my husband or me. Mm. But you can always, consents are withdrawn before pen on skin, self knife on skin, okay? Mm. And then another consent taken. Mm. So it goes back to the woman.
So explain that. What do you mean consent can be withdrawn?
So I can give my consent to do a procedure. Mm-hmm. And then just before, if I were in the theater, everybody scrubbed in before they do the incision, I say I don't want to do it again.
Oh,
do you understand?
Right.
So,
and then doctor can now write against medical advice.
Yes, you know? Yes. This person has what we call DAMAD, has been discharged against medical advice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you can, whatever the grounds may be, whatever reasons, if somebody says, oh, I don't want to do it, I don't want to have a procedure, the husband says, I don't want to have a procedure, and the woman has a higher knowledge, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. and is exposed enough to say, this is my body, this is my rights, mm-hmm. this is my child and I'm about to bear, mm-hmm. I think I can take it from here, mm-hmm. and sign her consent. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It's a legal document, and it will be accepted.
Mm. So it just requires for the woman to advocate for herself.
Advocate for herself, yes. In cases, also because in the cases where another person can even consent for her, but that person has to be the next of kin. I think there's some legalities around that.
I see. Now let's talk about why people often don't. I don't want to say don't want to do CS, because, you know, I don't think anyone wants to do major surgery, and CS is major surgery. But let's talk about why people are
really... Oh, no, there are people who want to have major surgery, who just want to deliver via cesarean section.
Right.
It's called the mother's will.
Right.
She wants to have cesarean section for various reasons. Some have for sentimental reasons.
Okay.
My birthday is July 23rd, by the way, and I want to have my baby July 23rd. It just happened to me.
Mm.
So let me give you a very quick story, Lagos.
Okay.
I think the ETD of my baby was sometime late July, and I wanted it to fall on my birthday.
Okay.
My last child.
Okay.
And then because I'd had a previous cesarean section, even though it had taken time, mm-hmm. the only thing, you know, they could do for me was a cesarean section or try for labor. But if you recall, I've always said I don't fall into labor.
Mm.
So it could try for labor, mm-hmm. okay, but they cannot induce my labor to avoid rupture of my uterus.
Right.
So I had a choice to do that cesarean section. Mm-hmm. But my doctor said, you know what, let's wait and see if you fall into labor.
Hmm.
And I wasn't happy at all. So, you know, because I've had a cesarean section, I mean...
It's always funny to me that doctors have doctors.
Yes, we do. We do have doctors.
Because I'm like, I'm listening to Ashana, and my doctor said, I'm like, oh, wait, what?
I have a doctor as well. So that happens. You can, and some people say, I don't think I have the energy to push.
Hmm.
You know, let's do a cesarean section. And some hospitals do get it right when it comes to pain management.
Hmm.
You know, so cesarean section is very painful. It takes a toll on the body. But if you get your pain management well, and if you have good pain thresholds, then as you know, you can do it and come out bouncing the next day.
Is it possible? Would it be right to even ask if one is worse than the other or better than the other?
I have done both.
Vaginal delivery and
yes,
cesarean.
I cannot choose which, to be honest.
Hmm.
And they both have their pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
They are both painful. None is the easier way,
mm-hmm.
because the vaginal birth has its own risk,
mm-hmm.
right? You can tear all the way from your vagina down the way to your uterus.
Mm-hmm.
You can there's so many complications that can arise from a cesarean
vaginal birth,
and you can just do a CS, you just go in, come out, bam.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Right.
So it really depends, to be honest.
Right.
You can't give a blanket statement. It has to be individualized to case that person, case by case, which is a better decision for you, or are both okay for you, or do you understand? So
okay, so those who are reluctant to get it, those who are reluctant to walk that path, what are some of the common reasons that you've heard as a doctor?
So what? Religion. Religion. My pastor said I would deliver like a Hebrew woman. I've been fasting and praying. None of my family members have done CS. I will not do CS. In fact, there's so many reasons, but I think it's just fear of the unknown.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I think we both. I've had cesarean section. I was born via cesarean section, so I don't think anybody should be scared of. But let's also remember that there are reasons, indications to why you can have cesarean section. Some are absolute indications. That is, go come. The doctor will tell you, if it's not CS, I'm not going to touch you. Because touching you is tantamount to manslaughter. Do you understand? And that's why some doctors can be vehement and say, you must do a cesarean section. It's not because they like you. I don't also want to say it's because they want your money.
But I've also heard that complaint. So you have some people who say, no, the doctor was insisting CS because the doctor wants money.
Exactly. That also happens. I cannot say, but I can fight for you if I see your history and I say, oh, no. This can be, we can play around, we can try for labor, but this is an absolute indication for a cesarean section. So it really boils down to your history. Do you understand? They'll say this hospital, they're always doing CS. They're always doing CS. They say, some other hospitals too, Seth, they rather just do CS. Like I said, they just go, bring a baby, come out and go. It's not really so much about the money, but it's how they want to keep up their mortality rates on the lowest.
Right.
You know? And things like that. So different practitioners, different facilities, you know, have what. And then some other hospitals say, in this hospital, they know they do CS. It's because they don't have the capacity to. Do you understand? It's because they're not equipped enough. They don't have the personnel. They don't have the anesthetics to administer anesthesia. And so they'll rather just be doing vaginal birth back to back.
I've got a message here from Linda. Linda says, that woman killed herself. She should have signed herself and sought for help from her family. I'm 40 plus. I had my first child via CS, though I called my husband and I told him, but I signed for myself as soon as the doctor advised. As I went for antenatal, the CS was done. The next day, I didn't even go home. I just called them to bring my bag. Being that 40 plus pregnancy is classified as risk, trying to wait for labor at 39, 40 weeks, I accepted. I know if you shout, I beg, Linda from the mainland.
Linda from the mainland is educated. She get power over herself. Yes, she told her husband, but it wasn't like seeking permission. Do you understand? It's not like, should I not do? It's not like, are they do? Are you with me or not?
But I say, make I inform you.
Make I inform, exactly. You know? So I'm glad she was able to take that decision. So many women can't.
That's what this show is about, to tell you that you can.
Yes, you please. Can. Look your husband in the eye, look your pastor in the eye, look your mother in the eye and say, I'm going to do the CS. I need to be alive.
And I, of course, remember what I said last week about, you know, that Hebrew women talk. So here's what used to happen. Because they sent them...
Tell them the story well.
Because they were telling the midwives, the Egyptian midwives, to be killing the babies of the Jews. Egyptian midwives did not want to soil their hands. This was during the Exodus, right? They didn't want to soil their hands because they had fear of God. So they just went and lied to their boss. You know how you come late to work and you lie to your boss that your car broke down on Third Mainland Bridge? This is the equivalent of that. The Egyptian women will go and tell the people that send them to go and kill these babies. Oh, sorry, oh, Pharaoh, we're so sorry. Hebrew women, they're not like our own women. You know, they are vigorous. They give birth before midwives arrive. Now lie. Now, because, say, they don't want to kill baby. They wanted the blood to not be on their hands. And so they lied to the Pharaoh. And that was how the babies of the Hebrew women were safe from murder. So, and this is also why, if you are religious, you need to read the scripture for yourself and read it in context. Sometimes, if you take just one passage and, like, you know, you don't... fix that passage within the context of everything else that was happening in the story, you may walk away with the wrong message. Sometimes it's good to just read the whole thing, read the full context, understand it for yourself, and see that, if you're trying to be metaphorical about Hebrew women giving birth quick, you want to take it literally that that's what was happening and the midwives were not lying to Pharaoh, then you can also take it to mean that, okay, cesarean, they will just go in, cut your belly, bring it out quick.
Exactly, because there are some very difficult cesarean sections, just like the way you have difficult vaginal deliveries.
Okay.
For whatever reason.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And then you have some people in, out, 20 minutes, you're done.
Okay.
So same thing, really.
Okay. Yeah. What are some of the risks with CS?
Some of the very important common things occur commonly. You can have, so for every surgery, there's risk to anesthesia.
Mm.
Okay. What we like to do here is do a spinal, and with spinal anesthesia, you get headaches. You get spinal headaches that can linger.
Mm.
Okay. But it can be managed.
Okay.
Some other people have, of course, if you're not doing your procedure in a good facility, they can hit the wrong place when administering the anesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a very uncommon complication.
Mm.
Now, there's risk to infection. Okay, because it's a surgical procedure. And there's also risk to infection with vaginal
delivery as well, right?
Also risk to bleeding.
Same for vaginal. Right.
And risk to death.
Right. Same for vaginal.
Exactly.
Right.
So there's no, I can't really think of any unique. So there can be injury to neighboring organs.
Okay.
So you need to first ensure that you're registering for antenatal in a good hospital.
Okay.
And that the doctor that you're seeing is a gynecologist.
Hmm.
And then he's going to monitor your labor.
Mm-hmm.
Not anybody, not just any doctor.
Hmm.
Okay. You want to make sure there is a gynecologist and an obstetrician who manages your delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, injuries to neighboring organs like the bladder, sometimes the intestines, okay? And not because the doctor is at fault or the doctor doesn't know what he's doing. Mm. But like I always say, you want to make sure that you're doing the right thing.
Right.
Sometimes accidents can happen.
Can happen,
yes.
Right.
So you can nick a bowel.
Right.
And then you suture up everything and then the bowel starts to leak in the peritoneum and that can cause other infections.
Infections, right.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Then what are the risks for vaginal?
So we've spoken about bleeding, infection, death. Vaginal. Can't really think of any extras. Yes, there could be
a tear.
Perineum tear,
mm-hmm.
Okay, which can lead to VVF,
mm-hmm.
Vaginal, which could lead to fistulas. I beg your pardon, VVF, mm-hmm. which could lead to fistulas, okay. Right? Vaginal fistula, I think, yeah. So that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then that tear, let me explain that tear, that perineal tear.
Okay.
When the tear is of various degrees, it can just be within the vaginal area. It can reach that skin, which is very thin, between the vagina and the anus.
Right.
It can also get to the anus.
Right.
Now, the most dangerous is when it gets to the anus, because you know that there's feces around
and
there.
Bacteria.
And then, yeah, so you can have that infection and it can really cause serious...
Cause a problem.
Breakdown.
Right. Okay.
And then very, very importantly is the postpartum bleeding hemorrhage,
okay.
Where the uterus does not contract to stop bleeding.
Right.
That can happen a lot. In fact, that's the number one cause for, I mentioned it last
Yes.
week.
Tell us how that happens. Tell us how that happens. What happens there?
So the uterus is a muscle. It's a smooth muscle.
Mm.
The uterus is a smooth muscle and during labor it contracts.
Okay.
Now, what that contraction does, it does two things. It expels the fetus and it also stops bleeding.
Hmm.
You know when you're trying to hold something now, when you're tightening it like this.
Like squeezer. Kegels.
Okay.
Continue. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that prevents bleeding from happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you do not give the right medication at that point, the uterus, or sometimes you even give the medication oxytocin,
mm-hmm.
and the uterus does not just respond enough, it doesn't stop the hemostasis, it doesn't stop the bleeding welling off. So that can happen.
Okay. Lagos, ask your questions. 0700 993 993 993 01465 7190. Linda sent another message and she says, so it was done in less than 30 minutes. I was out, spinal, and I was awake all through. I recommend teaching hospitals or general hospitals because they are good. Women should not be scared of CS. It is safe. Pray to God for safe delivery. Lagos, what questions do you have about what to expect when you are expecting? Now, we're not going to let this conversation go without talking about antenatal and why it's important. So we'll take a very short break. We'll come back and talk.
This is the Glass Ceiling. Glass Ceiling. Hard Facts. Hard Facts.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. What should you expect when you are expecting? Dr. Chibuki Aigwe is here answering your questions. So go ahead and give us a call and ask those questions. 0700 993 993 993 01465 7190. On WhatsApp, we have a ton of questions. Like a ton. My gosh. This one here.
Can we please start with the lady who's above 40?
Okay, yes. So we have Neka from VI, and she's asking, can a woman aged 40 years and with twins try for vaginal delivery?
So I'm tempted to answer her question with a question, but I'm honestly not being sarcastic. I want to know why she's considering that, because she has two risk factors for a cesarean section. She's over 40, right? And she's carrying multiples.
Right.
So I genuinely want to know why she wants to try. To be honest, you can try whatever. You can try for labor if you want to, but it's advised against you trying. You're advised not to try for labor. But I genuinely want to know why
she wants
that we can manage it from there, and then, you know, talk to her or really understand her thought process, because I don't know why that's a question.
Okay.
So I honestly want to know why she thinks or she's asking.
Okay, so Neka, if you can respond to us on WhatsApp, that would be great. 99.3, sorry about that, call back if you can. 99.3, hello.
Hello, ma. Good afternoon, ma.
Good afternoon. What's your name, ma'am?
Mrs. Oboli, David's mom.
Hey, hi, Mrs. Oboli.
Oh,
good to have you on the show.
Please permit me to call you Angel Sandra.
Oh, God, please. Please.
Thank you so much, ma. Oh, I have a question for the doctor in studio, but I just want to say something.
Okay.
Ma, the day I called you, I had just 25 naira in my account. And after I called you, I don't know what happened. I don't know what you said. I don't know what people heard. But that day, ma, oh my goodness. David did not even have one single Pampers or wipes in this house. After the money that I received, I was able to buy foodstuff, Pampers, wipes. Ma, God used you as an angel to overhaul this family. I will forever remain grateful to Ninja Info, to Angel Sandra Ezekwesili. My words can go on and on and on. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I don't know if I should mention the names of the people that sent something to us, but in fact, everything just changed. Thank you, ma.
You're welcome.
Thank you, ma.
You're welcome.
Thank you, ma.
There's no need to thank me, honestly.
Part of my heart, ma. Mr. Bimini, Mr. Kade, Magriola, Mr. Tochuku, God, it was something else. God bless you.
Bless you.
Shame will not be your portion.
Amen.
Everything you lay your hands on, ma, will continually prosper.
Amen. Thank
you. I just want to say thank you. And after that, I want to ask the doctor a question.
Okay. You're welcome, David. You're welcome. Bless you too, David. Thank you. Thank you, David.
Thank you so much. Yeah. All right, ma. Thank you so much. The doctor, I want to ask her a question.
Mm-hmm.
So David is nice. I don't know, the issue concerning cesarean C-section is always exaggerated because I have two CS, and both kids are okay.
Okay.
I gave birth to David normally.
Okay.
And he has CP.
Through cesarean operation.
Mm.
So my question is, was there something that went wrong during the time of conception? He's 12 now. He'll be 13 in October by God's grace. So can something have gone wrong during the time of conception, because honestly, I still ask myself, although I was told when I gave birth to him that he was jaundiced at birth. So could that have been the reason or the issue I'm battling with for over 12 years now? That's my question.
Does he have cerebral palsy? I had his speech.
Yes, ma. After I gave birth to him, I was told he was jaundiced. And so we did EBT, ma. That's the exchange blood transfusion. And after that, he can't sit. He's always on Pampers. Mm. He can't feed himself. We take him to the bedroom and intubate him, everything. And that's how it has been. But it's just that he speaks, you know.
Yeah.
And Sandra can't hear.
Yes, I could hear what he was saying. although I could tell that, you know, he had some speech.
He can't see. If David wakes me by 12 midnight, mommy, he wants to drink water, he wants to eat, ma, I am up. So it is well.
Yes, I can understand how you've been. So I run a platform on Instagram. It's called, I've never spoken about it here.
Okay.
It's called The Lord Spectrum. It's centered around autism and other learning disabilities.
Okay,
so we can talk offline, right? You can send me a DM. It's
please,
the Lord Spectrum.
I think Madam Sandra, sorry, Angel Sandra has my phone number.
I beg.
It's the Lord Spectrum. THE.
And honestly,
does your number end with 199? Does your number end with 199?
Yes, ma'am. 199.
Okay.
Yes,
All right. I'll share it with her. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So I'll just answer.
Okay. It's okay.
So yes,
you're welcome.
I didn't hear if you said you had him via vaginal.
Yes. Yeah.
So it had nothing to be conception. Okay. Now what happens? And I heard your positive history about jaundice. Now jaundice can be really, really dangerous. At certain levels above 10 millimeter microgram per liter, it can cross the brain barrier and, for lack of a better word, stain the brain. Now, when this, I'm just using stain the brain so that we understand.
Yeah.
It be like die.
Yeah.
You know, you can manage, but when it come over, the barrier no fi hola, it will touch, it will stain the brain.
Right.
And that can lead to a lifelong, there's really no cure for what happens after.
Right.
It would cause delay in development. And so speech, potty training, motor movement, all that could be delayed.
Right.
So it's good that when you notice, and that's why you're sometimes in some hospitals, they like to keep you for a minimum of 48 hours. And I know a few facilities that whether your baby looks jaundiced or not, you'll be run serum bilirubin before you leave, just so that they can see if it's rising. Because it might not have risen to the peak in the hospital, but you can see when it's rising. And then, you know, and sometimes we've seen people, because, you know, I think the Yoruba culture, they do naming on 7 day or 8 day.
8 day, yeah.
They say they want to go home for 8 day. They don't want to finish
in the hospital.
Right. Meanwhile, this child is jaundiced and needs to be managed.
Right.
Some other people, they will be home. They say they want to do that naming first before they come back.
Right.
And the child is visibly jaundiced.
Oh.
So those things are very critical. I know that a lot of people don't have faith in the medical system.
Mm-hmm.
But truth be told, you don't have a choice. It's best you follow what your practitioner is saying and do your own research. But you cannot compare your Google degree to your medical practitioner's degree. But just as when they are talking, you are not even lost.
Yeah.
You know, but you should listen to your medical practitioner.
Right.
Don't go against medical advice. Right. Always seek a second opinion.
Right.
And yeah.
Okay, you know, this thing you were saying just now about some people want to go home for the 8 days naming ceremony.
And by the time they come back, the damage has been done.
Last week, while we're having our conversation, one of my colleagues, Tunde, he came in and he said he knows someone that had her baby through CS and she didn't want to do the eight days naming ceremony because she felt that her child was somehow less, because the child
didn't feel worthy enough.
Yes, you know, and I'm wondering what that's about.
I mean, you give birth to a live baby without complications. Sometimes thank God, God no be man. I mean, man no be God. God no be man.
Mm.
Because it can really hit. Some people want, don't mind having these kids that have, what's it called now? Congenital malformations.
Okay.
They just need to hear the cry of your child in their home.
Right.
And then you're having a child and you're saying because you had a cesarean section. I don't think that's fair enough.
Right.
To you, to right. yourself, or to the child.
Right.
Or for, let me just chip in a little bit of religion to God.
God that gave the knowledge.
Yeah.
Thank you. You brought us back to religion. Lagos, I want to read you that passage of the Bible. No, honestly. Like, so this is Exodus. And this is Exodus chapter 1. That passage is inside chapter 1. And that passage in the Bible, it starts with naming the children of Israel, you know, who came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob. So named Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, named all of them, right? Then by the time we get to, I wanted to say episode 9. By the time we get to verse 9, Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them so that they no go they multiply, come pass us for this place. Eh? If war come shell now,
them go win us,
they go be our enemies." So they now set out taskmasters. They come, they punish them, they give them punishment. Pharaoh made they build treasure city for Pharaoh, made they build things for Ramses. But the more way they punish Israelites, the more way they multiply, the more way they grow. Egyptians say, okay, make we attack them when they born. So midwives, they can't call. In fact, you know, earlier I said it was Egyptian midwives. I'm sorry. It was Hebrew midwives that they even called. So these Hebrew midwives, Pharaoh can't call them, can't say, come, these are your women. When they weren't born, kill their sons. Let me even read it verbatim, yeah? Verse 16, Exodus chapter 1, verse 16 says, "And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the birth stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live." Verse 17 says, "But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they saved the men children alive." Verse 18, "And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive?" Verse 19, the very popular, "And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them." That's old English for they get them strong before we reach them, they don't born. And then verse 20 says, "Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty." So if you read that full passage, you understand the historical context of that verse.
That your born in verse, a Hebrew man, was even based on a lie.
You understand? Like if you pay attention to that, you see the historical context. You see that, like, we've held ourselves in a bondage for centuries,
yeah,
over a lie. You know, and I can understand the desire to, like, want vaginal because, well, that's quote unquote natural. I can understand the desire to want to align with your scripture, but sometimes it is good to understand the scripture within the context for which that particular scripture was written.
Yeah.
Let's come back to you now. People, they call me now. Maybe they won't call and say, "Sandra, where did you get your pastoral degree?" 99.3.
Are you ready?
Hello, Sandra.
What's your name?
Good evening. I'm Adama Aziz from Ikoti.
Welcome, Adama Aziz. Talk to me.
How are you?
I'm very well.
I didn't listen to you yesterday. I was pained.
Oh, I'm sorry. Welcome today.
Yes. Sandra, so please, that story, is it real life?
Which one?
The one that the woman died.
Yes. They listen to hard facts. That's how I know about them.
Sandra, my last 2 years, my friend, the daughter, she got pregnant.
Okay.
So the boy wanted to marry her.
Okay.
So the mother of the boy now said until she delivers. So this woman now called me. and told me that her daughter has been in labor since yesterday.
Mm.
That the mother and the father of the boy are pastors. That they said they are in the hospital praying that she will be put to bed. I just told that my friend that for her, that daughter, she is the one to lose, not the man, not the mother-in-law to be or the father. She is the one to lose her, that will lose her child, and she won't come back again. Even if she delivers, they will take that child. So she should go and consent so that they would operate on the girl.
Mm.
She moved immediately, entered night bus to Delta.
Mm.
When she got there, she said her daughter just said, managed to say, Mommy, you are here. She told the doctor. The woman said, no, she's not the one that brought her here. The mother-in-law-to-be said, no, that they're the ones that brought the girl, that the ones that we say. The woman told the doctor, see, if you don't operate on my daughter immediately, in fact, this hospital, you won't open it by the time I finish with you. This woman is not learning to. Do you know that immediately they operated on the girl?
Mm-hmm.
She stayed in the hospital for like 2 weeks.
Mm.
The mother brought her back to Lagos and ended the relationship there and then.
Mm.
That child is like 2 years now.
Aww.
A baby boy.
Aww.
She's with the daughter and her child. The boy came for them. She told the boy, don't ever near my house again. Because I know your plan towards my daughter, so it won't work. Mm. Don't near my house. I'm not owing you.
Aww.
You are not owing me. Please leave my house.
Aww.
That was how that marriage didn't work again.
Aww. Adamazi, thank you very much for calling to share that story with us. I don't know where the time goes. We're out of time. Can you believe it, Doc?
I know. I can't believe it.
I know, we're done.
I haven't talked about half the things
I know. But hey, it's a series. We're continuing it. See, I like your fine face, so we'll drag you back to the studio. And you can talk to us some more next Wednesday. You know, but it's back to the point that Dr. Chibuki Aigbe made. Advocate for yourselves as women. Yeah.